from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and here on the live feed, MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. So however you're listening in, if you're on the hub of everything Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, that is WakeUpCallDT.com, where you can listen, watch, and read. There are shows to listen to, articles to read, as well as videos to watch. Plenty for you, whatever you like, because some people like to, you know, they're visual. They like to watch things. Some people like to listen in, and some people like to read. Some people like a little bit of everything. So WakeUpCallDT.com gives you that. And MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT is, of course, the live feed that you can hear on WakeUpCallDT.com or hear straight from the feed. If you haven't become a member of WakeUpCallDT.com, please make sure you do so today. It'll put you on the list for when I put out newsletters. You'll be one of the first people to hear what's going on, and you'll always be invited to different events in the Central New York community and beyond. And then on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT, only members are able to chat with me on the live chat during each of the live shows. And if you're a member, you never miss a live show because you get emailed every time I go on the air. So it's pretty awesome. You're always connected to what I'm doing. So thank you for listening in today. It has been a road. It has been a road. So if I cough during this thing, it has definitely been a road. So for those of you that have listened into the show and been very loyal to the live show that came back here in 2016, I thank you all. You know that the show has been Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time every single week. And, you know, it's been difficult lately because I've been sick. So I've been sick, my allergies, I've been traveling a lot. So those of you that have written in my schedule and said every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm listening in from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, I didn't forget about you. I've just been sick. And as my wife told me, because I will run myself to the ground and below to make sure that I do all the shows and do all the stuff, she said, you know, if you keep doing everything while you're sick and you don't take care of yourself, you're going to come to a point where not only are you not going to feel good, but you're not going to be able to do much of anything. And, you know, she said, you know, if you can't do a show because you're sick, it's a lot better than pushing yourself, continuing to do it, and then not being able to do a show for 3 weeks. So for those of you that have been trying to listen in Monday, Wednesday, Friday the last week here, and you haven't heard the show, that's why. You know, I've been sick. I'm very loyal to my listeners. I'm very loyal to my schedule now. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you don't feel good because I am the type of person that, you know, I feel like if I was back in the day and, you know, digging the land or something like that, you know, I'd be the person that's out there with one arm, one leg, keeping digging the land. So, you know, I want to thank everybody that's been loyal, and I want to thank all the new listeners. I want to thank all of the listeners that have been patrons that have stayed with me. And, you know, I mean, this show is different. The way I do things is different. And I love it. I love doing things the way that I do it. I love the fact that I can have the respect and the appreciation of the players and still be impartial, and the coaches as well. I love traveling. So I want to thank everybody for being a part of the show. And please know that once I'm back on the mend here and feeling better, then you will hear Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora live Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. It's just been a battle, and you got to take care of yourself. You know, I tell you all to take care of yourselves, and then I don't. So you got to take care of yourself. You got to be good to yourself. So before we go anywhere today, let me say this. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. If you celebrate a different religion, then happy day. Happy Sunday. You know, the whole politically correct and all that garbage. I mean, this is my thing. You can't be politically correct about religion. That doesn't make logical sense. So, happy Easter to those of you that celebrate Easter. I do. I love God. He died for us. He gave me an opportunity. And let me tell you something. If you don't believe, I don't know what you believe in, because he's the one that got my butt here to Chicago. I was not feeling good all last week. Somehow, some way, he got me on a plane. He got me to Chicago. And I feel well enough today to do a show. And I haven't felt good all week. So, there is a God. He is good. Or she is good, however you want to look at it. And, you know, happy Easter. Happy Easter to everybody out there. We have a jam-packed show today. The Market Diner proudly presents to you the morning menu, which is my topics for the day. Obviously, today we're going to be concentrated on Syracuse and the Elite Eight. A lot of people listening to the show, huge Syracuse fans. So, you know me, I'm impartial. You know, I'm going to talk about the game. I'm going to say this is a tough matchup. It's a very tough matchup. I said I believe that Syracuse could squeak it out against Gonzaga, but they had to be quick. They had to be physical. They had to be tenacious. They did that enough. If they did it the whole game, then we could have seen maybe a 10-point victory. But, you know, Gonzaga has a good team. They have two good players in Wiltshire and in Sabonis. And Sabonis and Wiltshire, you know, their averages for the season, Sabonis averaging a double-double, Wiltshire averaging 20 points a game. They both met and exceeded expectations for sure. And Syracuse did some good things with them. I mean, Wiltshire could have ended up with 30, 40 points. And when you look at Sabonis, he could have been 20-20. So, you know, I think Syracuse did some good things with that. But Virginia's a tough team, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, we're actually going to talk with, we have a live show here today from Chicago that's going to feature my conversations, first and foremost, with Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum Leo Routens. Then around 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Brandon Trish, Syracuse alum, is going to join me. Then around noon Eastern Time, we have Gene Waldron, another Syracuse alum. And then we're going to wrap it up at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time with another friend of mine, Louis Orr, is going to be a part of the show. So make sure that you're tuning in all throughout the show. There's no other show that is going to bring you what this brings you, you know. And that's, I made it a point in high school when everybody was competing with everybody and trying to be cool and trying to, you know, get all the girls to like them and all that stuff. And I made, in high school, I read something and, you know, you have a planner. And back when planners were free, now you go to get planners and even Target. And I'm going to call Target out. Okay, Target's prices for the most part are good, but what? Why is a planner like $15 if you want a good one? I miss being in high school and college. They would have just handed you one. So I remember in high school, I had a planner, and it had inspirational messages each week. And one of them said, never compare yourselves to other people, because you'll either become cocky knowing that you're better than some, or depressed knowing that you're not as good as others. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that. Because if you're competing with other people, which a lot of people that I'm around do, it makes you bitter. Makes you ugly. Makes you kind of a joke. But when you compete with yourself, you're positive. You're constantly trying to get better. You're pushing yourself to get better. And by pushing yourself to get better, you're pushing the people around you to get better, which is going to do one of two things. They're either going to want to get better with you, or they're going to get really jealous. And I feel sorry for those people. But you have a choice in this world. You have a choice to get better. You have a choice to do better. You have a choice to be better. So on this Easter, I want to say to God and to everybody that I'm going to be better. I'm going to constantly push myself to be better. There's things that I do in this world that I love, and there's things I want to be better at. We all are like that. So happy Easter to everybody. Celebrate it with your family. I miss my family like crazy. I had a choice. Either come down to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, see what happens with Syracuse and with my coverage of the NCAA tournament, or stay home. And my grandmother's 99 years old. She's going to be 100 years old this year. It's crazy. I love you, G-Mama. Blow you a kiss. Big hug. Bushel and a peck and a squeeze around the neck. That's what my grandma always says to me. Forever. Grandma's 99 years old and she still remembers that and still says it to me. And I miss you and I love you. Happy Easter. Happy, happy Easter. When my grandmother talks to me about work, she tells me, go. She always tells me go. She told me, because I lived with her for a couple years to take care of her, she had fallen and she injured herself, she was in the hospital, and my family was in a time where we didn't know what to do, and I agreed to live with my grandmother when I moved back from Orlando to take care of her. She's one of my best friends. She's an amazing woman, and I wanted to take care of her. She's an amazing person. So I lived with her, and she said to me, she said, Daniel, don't feel guilty when you have to leave this house. She said, I will always be behind you, and I will always support you. And she always told me, she goes, I'm not much, but I'm back there pushing you. I'm little, but I'm back there pushing you. So I knew Grandma would want me to be here. And I have a great wife. I have a phenomenal wife. Kate, you know I love you. And I miss you like crazy today. I miss you all the time, especially on Easter. I miss you like crazy. And she just understands. She gets it. She gets it. You can thank my wife that you have what you have on wakeupcalldt.com. You can thank my wife that you can go on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt and find stuff every day. You can thank my wife that you could follow me on Twitter @calldt and get all those posts. That there's a live feed, mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. You can thank my wife because my wife loves me and understands that my schedule is psychotic, crazy. If anybody ever told you I don't work hard, God bless that person's karma. Because this life is crazy. It's crazy to be a broadcaster, a business owner, a marketing coordinator, a producer, a director, an editor. About 15 different hats that I wear in this job. And I wouldn't change it for the world. I need to sleep more and take care of my body, hence not feeling that great. Feel better today, by the grace of God, but not feeling 100%. You can thank my wife. I love you, babe. And I want to say this in this special Easter edition of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora here on wakeupcalldt.com and on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. Before we get into the interviews, Leo Routon's coming up first. I want to thank my parents. When I was landing in Chicago, I looked out the window and I was like, Mom and Dad, I made it. That's what I said in my head. I made it. Your little boy who believed he could do anything, he is. Your little boy who didn't take no for an answer, who got turned down multiple times coming out of college trying to find a job. It's hard. It's hard. And it gets harder. TV stations keep their people forever. They don't switch. They had more and more people taking on 2, 3, 4 jobs. So that wasn't available. Radio. People don't tell you about traditional radio. If you want to be a broadcaster on traditional radio, you either have to pay to be on the air or you have to be an account executive and make the company money, and then they let you be on the air for free, but then you don't make money to be on the air. So, you know, very, 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 very few people, very few people are on the air that aren't paying to be there or aren't doing 10 other jobs to warrant being there. Why did I start my own company? Because I wanted to start a different path for people. I want to give people another opportunity. I was on ESPN and successful there. I did successful work with Fox and Scout. I was successful with Yahoo Sports Radio on the Score. My success over the past 13 years working for other companies, I appreciate everything I learned. and I appreciate all the success I got from it. My company wouldn't be successful if not for all the work I had done prior to. But I started this company to build a different world for people, not just for myself, for people, to let you know that you can do it. Of course I'm going to get criticized. I own my own company. I decided to not continue working where I was. You look at, I was on three ESPN affiliates, New York, Pennsylvania, Florida. I had those opportunities. I decided to not be on traditional radio anymore. I decided to not work for the companies that have built their names for the past 20, 30, 40 years. Because I wanted to build the name of my company. Because if I died tomorrow, I can tell you that I've been almost 4 years in my business and I have left it great. And somebody could pick it up right now and run with it. That's why I did this. So when I was landing in Chicago, I looked out the window and I said, Mom and Dad, I made it. Because I love my parents. Love your parents. Now, if you have good parents, I mean, if you have a parent that is a drug addict or beats you or something like that, I mean, obviously get out of that situation and I pray and I hope for you. But if you have parents like mine that have always supported and groomed my dreams, love your parents. I'll admit it to you. There's times where I look at my mom or my dad and I'm like, do you know what I do? I mean, there's times in the past where I'm like, I got to work. I got to go do this. I got to make this happen. It was confusing to them. My dad's a 9-to-5 person. But over the years, they've seen me travel. They've seen me get sponsors. They've seen me be out constantly. I create my own schedule. I make myself busy. I'm busier than many. And that's by choice. That's because if you want your dreams to become a reality, you can't sit on the couch and do nothing. If you're going to sit on the couch, you better be working. And then take the time to sit on the couch and relax afterwards. There has to be a balance. I'm learning the balance of relaxing, but the hard work, that's there. And Mom and Dad, I know you're listening. I know you are. I love you. I love you very much. I miss you like crazy. And knowing my mom, she's probably crying right now. Well, I love you both. I love my grandfathers. I love my grandmas. I love my dogs. My actual dogs. Not talking about some group of people that I know. I love my dogs. All my pets. Everybody. Kate. Kate's family, all my friends, my day oneers. You want to have good friends in this world? Get your day oneers. The people that are there with you when you don't have a comma in your bank account, the people that are there with you when you're talking about your dreams and now they're seeing you live them. Be with those people. Evan, Rudy, Brandon, Steve, John, Nico, Miguel, Ross, Nick, Mark, Rob, Dale, thank you. Thank you. Donald, the list goes on and on and on and on. Val, thank you. Thank you for everything that you've all done. I appreciate it. And I love you all for it. I love you very much. So Mom and Dad, thank you for standing here today and standing up for your son and believing. You knew I was always going to take a road that I was going to have to cut through myself. You knew that if God had me on a street and there's five paved roads and then there's bushes, that he was going to tell me to cut through those bushes, and you knew I was going to cut through those darn bushes anyways. So thank you for supporting me and believing in me. Thank you for that. Every parent should have, or every child should have parents that believe in them and that stand by them. And that constantly are there to support them. So, Dad, Mom, I love you. I love you very much. Happy Easter. And now let's get into it. Here on the Morning Menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner. Like I said, today we're talking about Syracuse. We're in the Elite Eight. I'm live here in Chicago. Very blessed to be here. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora has been live on site in Washington, D.C. this year for the ACC tournament. I was live in St. Louis, Missouri for the round of 64 and the round of 32, covering Syracuse and all the teams there. And I am live here in Chicago covering the ACC once again, ironically. Syracuse going up against Virginia, and have been covering the Sweet 16 and going into the Elite Eight. So I'm very proud to say that for the first time ever, another first, three firsts in a row, we have a tic-tac-toe of wake-up call first. First time broadcasting live in Washington, D.C., first time live in St. Louis, Missouri, and now, for the first time, live in Chicago, Illinois. I love it. So, let's get started here. We have a packed house of Syracuse Orange alum that want to talk about their team, and we're going to start with Leo Routens, Syracuse Orange alum that has obviously been somebody that's followed this team for a long time. He works up in Canada, constantly doing NBA stuff for NBA TV, for the Raptors, covering the Toronto Raptors this year, the best year, I think, potentially of any that it may look like in covering the Toronto Raptors, and I know he's doing a great job up there, so I'm very happy to have Leo Routens be a part of the show today to talk with me. And after Leo, we're going to welcome on Brandon Trish, Gene Waldron, and Louis Orr, and then we're going to talk about the matchup itself. So, very happy to have on the show right now Leo Routens. Leo, how you doing today?
I'm great, Dan. How about you?
I'm doing well, and when you look at this team, Leo, there's been other teams in Syracuse's history that haven't gotten a lot of credit or a lot of belief that they could move forward. What can you say about this year's team and knowing that so many people have picked against them, didn't think they should get in the tournament, just how this team is this year, knowing that there's been so much against them from the outside looking in?
Well, it just seems that whenever Syracuse is in one of these situations and Jim Boeheim is in a situation where, you know, people really aren't looking at his team as being somebody that belongs or can win, he manages to just get the best out of them. And I don't know if it's everybody just coming together saying, hey, we'll show them or what. But, you know, this team just, I think people got to understand there's a lot of, yes, you do have veteran leadership, which is really important. And I think that's certainly one of the keys. But you also have a young team. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a little longer for a young team to hit their groove and find what they do best and how to get everybody in the mix and play together. And, you know, Jimmy's done such a great job over years of making that happen. But there's no timetable. And it just seems that they got that second win. They got that new life. And everything's come together for them. But, you know, the play of their seniors certainly has been incredible for them. These guys are going out with a bang, and that's just the way you want it to happen.
Leo, when you look at the fact, like you said, that you know there's no timetable, and it obviously takes time to bring this team together and find comfort, and you have three true freshmen that are obviously getting some quality minutes out there this season. The entire 2015 recruiting class that came in, getting a lot of time out there, especially Frank Howard with his boost and Malachi and Tyler. Lydon obviously getting their time as well. Would you say that the nine games that Boeheim was taken out, that he was suspended, that maybe we're seeing a Syracuse team now that's catching their groove and catching their stride at this point, that maybe they would have caught a little bit sooner if he wasn't out at that time?
I have no doubt about that. You know, you could see the difference as soon as Coach came back. You know, the impact he had on the team and the way they were able to start playing. And if you were able to factor in nine more games into that, without a doubt, it would have accelerated everything. But, regardless, I mean, the key is that these guys have just found a way. They found a way to put it together, and they found a way to, you know, fill the holes and do whatever they have to do. And I think that's the most important thing. I mean, you're seeing a team, and you could see this all year, even when they struggled. These guys fight. These guys compete. They bring everything they can. And again, it's, you know, your leaders are the ones that kind of set the table. If they're gonna fight, if they're gonna work hard, then everybody else is gonna fall in. And I think that's what's happened here.
When you look at Syracuse, like you said, when they're in situations like this, they know how to respond. When there's a lot of people that are betting against them, saying that they should have never gotten into the NCAA tournament. When that's going on around the country, it seems like Syracuse plays well with a chip on their shoulder. Like I said, if you ever want to see Syracuse go far in a tournament, don't make them a one seed, because that's when they seem to falter. But when you just let them get in, or you put them in the middle of the pack, that's when they show their ways and what they can do. To look back to 1996, obviously there was a team in Syracuse there with Lazarus Sims and John Wallace and Otis Hill and company that weren't supposed to make it in the tournament. They weren't supposed to win any games. People bet against them every time, chose against them every time. Whoever Syracuse was playing, the other team was supposed to win, and they made it to the championship game. Do you see any parallels or similarities between this year's team and the 1996 team that obviously didn't have any respect except for from within?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, both teams are talented. Both teams were dangerous teams at certain points of the season, and they have a lot of pieces. So, I mean, without a doubt, there's similarities. But, you know, like when you say, you know, if Syracuse is a higher-ranked team, then it's harder. It's harder for any higher-ranked team. I mean, when you're coming in as a 1-2-3 seed or whatever, you know, everybody's coming for you. All the pressure's on your shoulders. When you come in as a 10, 11, 12, whatever, you know, the lower seeds, I mean, you're coming in and you're kind of go under the radar, and there's not a lot of expectation, and quite honestly, that creates an environment which you can just play, and a lot of times the pressure is just on other teams. You know, even when they played Middle Tennessee State, who was not a high seed, but here's the question, here's the point, that you know, they beat Michigan State. They're right. The ones that now the pressure is all on their shoulders, not Syracuse. So Syracuse just had to go out and play, and they did just that. And you know, you look at that 96 team. I mean, they had great performances. You had some luck. You had some plays at the end of games, and that's what it takes. I mean, nobody wins a championship without having a little luck and some good fortune along the way. And so without a doubt, then you look at this year's team and you go, you know what? Hey, you never know what can happen. There's nobody that's not beatable. Nobody at all. And Syracuse has proven that during the course of the season, that, you know, when they can make some shots, when their defense is clicking, they can beat anybody.
When you look at the notion, Leo, of what some people have said, that Syracuse has had an easy road. They had a 7-seed Dayton, a 15-seed Middle Tennessee State, 11-seed Gonzaga to get to the Elite Eight. There are critics out there that are saying Syracuse has been given the easiest road to the Elite Eight. Now, I beg to differ, because you can only play the road that you've been given. But how do you look at the situation of people saying, well, Syracuse got here because it's been easy?
I think it's a joke. I mean, well, first of all, how is a team that's not supposed to be there have an easy road? If you're not supposed to be there, then every game you play must be a monster game for you, because you're not even supposed to be there. So
right.
it, that makes no sense right there in that argument. And like I said, in this tournament, especially in this day and age, I mean, there's so much parity. There's not a lot of difference between a lot of these teams. You know, there's no surprise when a lower seed knocks off a higher seed. It's just not a big surprise anymore. So, you know, to say they got the easiest path, it's just one of those things, like Boeheim said about the teams that, you know, the people that said that they didn't belong. You just don't know the game. Once you get into the tournament, there is no easy path. You got to take whatever you get, and you got to find a way to win. And you know, like I said, when you're playing teams, look at Gonzaga as a team that a lot of people thought were, you know, the same thing, that maybe, you know, they had to put a run at the end of the year, but a lot of people thought this team was way better. A lot of people had this team going deep. A lot of people had this team beating Syracuse because of, you know, their personnel, this and that. Well, how'd Syracuse win? You know, they had to play. They had to come and find a way to win. So, I don't pay a lot of attention to that. You know, Dan, we've talked a lot about that. There's so many people, especially now with social media and everything else. Everybody's an expert and everybody's got an opinion. And,
right.
And like Boeheim said, most people have no clue. And, you know, that's why it's so important for players to, you know, just stay within their own team and not pay attention to a lot of that, and do what they got to do and just enjoy it, because this is, these are, you know, lifetime opportunities. You just want to savor every minute of them.
Frank Howard, the true freshman point guard, said to me, going off of what you're saying here with Leo Routon, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. And Leo, what Frank said to me after the win over Gonzaga in the Sweet 16, you know, I said, what's kept this team focused? What's kept this team going after it? And he said, you know, we've never turned on each other. We've never listened to anything on the outside. We don't care what the media has to say. We've always been in this room together, banding together with one another. Just what you can say to that and to the fact that that came out of the mouth of a true freshman.
Well, and what have we seen from these freshmen? I mean, they've shown a lot of poise, a lot of growth. They handle the moment extremely well. They don't get giddy or too down like a lot of freshmen do. You know, I've been impressed with these guys, and so I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that they're staying focused. And then again, you got to give the coach Jim Boeheim a lot of credit. I mean, he's been through this, you know, how many times now, and he knows. I think he handles it the way you would expect him to. He doesn't get enough credit for, you know, what his teams do. You know, I watched, I think it was a Seth Greenberg on ESPN, and he made a great point talking about how the adjustments that, you know, Boeheim's teams make in that zone that people don't even see, they don't even understand. And I don't think Jim Boeheim gets enough credit for what he does from a technical standpoint, no more than he does for keeping these guys together and focused and in the moment.
Before I let you go, Leo, when you talk about somebody not getting enough credit, you and I have talked about this player before. Trevor Cooney, people expect him to be 100% from beyond the arc. They expect him to be 50% at worst from beyond the arc, which is a lot to ask him. And I know there's your Steph Curry out there, but that's Steph Curry and pretty much nobody else. When you look at Trevor Cooney and the fact that he had that steal at the end of the game, that he was in bounds. I mean, you look at it, any way you look at it, his feet are in bounds. But to make that play, it's not the first time he's done it. He's had 26 games out of 35 this season where he has gotten at least one steal. 16 of those 26 games, he's had multiple steals. He knows how to get after the ball and play well defensively. And Boeheim said in the past, I'm not going to put Trevor Cooney out there on the court because he can make threes. I'm going to put him out there if he plays good defense. What can you say about someone who doesn't get enough credit that obviously went out there and made one of the biggest plays of the game against Gonzaga?
Well, the same thing as before. You know, people love to, you know, critique this kid and jump all over him, and those are people that don't understand the game. You know, if he misses a big shot at the end of a game, you know what? I respect the fact that he wants to take that shot and is not afraid to take that shot. Nobody's going to make, you know, every shot. But this is a kid that it plays without fear. And, you know, the fact that he makes plays, you know, he's a senior. He's a guy that's been around a while. He understands how to play. And, you know, he anticipated that play late in the game. You know, he made, you know, great job of getting to the ball. And I still like to know how the official with the worst angle makes a call on that play. That's just a time where an official needs to just swallow his whistle and not realize that you don't have to impact the game that way.
Right.
But you know, Cooney, you know, he's just a gamer. You know, to me, he's a gamer. He's a guy, you know, I'd love to have on my team. You know, he fits right in with those guys. He makes, you know, he's made so many big shots in his career. I just, quite frankly, don't understand a lot of the criticism that comes his way. And I said I'll just attribute it to the fact that it's just people that just don't get it.
Trevor Cooney, like you said, you'd like to have him on your team. Could you see him translate professionally to a league like the NBA?
You know what? Whether he plays in the NBA or not, that's a different story. I mean, the game has changed so much that and shooting, there's such a priority on shooting, and you see the game's getting smaller, so. There's always opportunities. I don't know if that's going to be his future. I know that he can continue to play the game professionally. There's going to be opportunities for him to play overseas. So, you know, I'm not worried about Trevor Cooney. I just know that he's a kid that's going to find a way. And if he wants to keep playing this game, he's going to be able to keep playing the game for a long time. Because, you know, he puts in the time, he puts in the work, and he's a proven winner.
And lastly for you, speaking here with Leo Routon, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, what you can say about Mike Benajay, 35 games Syracuse has played, going into the Elite Eight matchup that they'll have with Virginia, and 35 times he's been in double figures. He's the person that instead of, and he could have done this, players have done this in the past, he attacked the basket, he definitely had contact, he could have turned around, looked at the ref, pleaded his case, demanded that there be a foul called. Instead, he kept his eye on the ball, he looked down at the ground, grabbed the ball, put it back up with Gonzaga not expecting him to do so, and gave Syracuse a one-point lead, and that 61-60 lead they ended up taking to the bank after Tyler Lydon was able to make a couple free throws there. So just what you can say about how Mike Benajay has grown from the Duke player that was 1.7 points per game and playing 6 minutes a game to someone that Syracuse has relied on and can rely on every single time this season.
Well, you know, he's obviously he's an experienced player. He's extremely talented. He's got great size at the guard position. He can shoot it. He can put the ball on the floor. He can pass it. There's not much not to like about Benajay. And, you know, we've discussed that, you know, as a transfer, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to kind of hit your groove and find out where you fit and what you can do. And, you know, I knew it was just a matter of time. You know, just watching him play, you could just see that it's a matter of time. I think playing internationally in the summer has really helped him. It's a boost for his confidence. And, you know, I don't know, when you look around the ECC and there's a lot of good teams, as this tournament has proven, I don't know if there's any one player that's been more valuable to their team than Benajay has been to Syracuse, just because he affects the game in every way. And Syracuse, as young as they are, that to have somebody like Benajay kind of ties it all together. You know, he just makes everybody better, and I think all the younger players look to him, and he gives them a certain level of confidence. I mean, I think they just feel better being on the floor with him. And like I said, there's no price you can put on that. I mean, his leadership has been you know, tremendous this season. And like I said, you'd be hard pressed to find a guy more valuable.
Well, Leo, as always, I appreciate you taking time, and I know you're in the thick of things with the Raptors and the NBA. So I appreciate it. I hope you travel safely, and I look forward to talking with you again. Thank you, as always.
Well, I appreciate it, Dan. Always a pleasure to talk Orange.
Once again, big thanks to Leo Routens for being a part of the show. He's traveling out in New Orleans and everywhere that he's been lately covering this team, covering a team that's a very strong team that's going to push a lot. I know Golden State is strong and Cleveland is strong, but you got to put the Raptors up there when you're looking at the strength of the nation when it comes to the NBA this year. So credit to Leo for everything that he does. I can't thank him enough for being a part of the show. He's been wonderful over the years. He's been an absolute blessing to be around, and somebody who truly, you know, obviously cares about Syracuse and pays attention to Syracuse. So to the Raptors TV analyst for NBA on TSN, Sportsnet, NBA TV Canada, I want to thank Leo Routens for being a part of the show, and as always, God bless to him and his family, and a very happy Easter. We're going to take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com and MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT to hear from my great partners that made it possible for me to be down here in Chicago, or I should say over here in Chicago, Illinois, when I come back. Brandon Trish, Syracuse Orange alum, joins me next.
A live game day experience unlike anything you've ever seen is at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York, down the road from the Carrier Dome, and at the Orange Crate Express on 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius, New York, the former Ugly Duckling. You're pre-gaming with us at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse for all Syracuse Orange football and men's basketball home games. And for the away games, you're pre-gaming with us at Orange Crate Express on 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius, New York. Wake Up Call Game Day Live. Whether it's a night out on the town, going out and grabbing a drink, or coming out and seeing the game, you're going to Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, and the Orange Crate Express at 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius. Pre-game with Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora and our special guests throughout the Syracuse Orange football and Syracuse Orange men's basketball seasons. All the great flavors of Utica Pizza Company right at your doorstep. It's a Utica thing. Family-owned restaurant on wheels. For festivals, parties, receptions, and more, including lunch stops right by your office building, call It's a Utica Thing and have them come to your next event. 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946. The flavors of Utica Pizza Company, authentic recipes right by you with an authentic menu. You choose the menu, you choose the place. Call now to reserve. It's a Utica Thing, the family-owned restaurant on wheels. 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at dreisigapparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, and all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
There's more than meets the eye at Utica Pizza Company on 628 South Main Street in North Syracuse, New York. Located in the Main's Plaza near Sweetheart Corners at the intersection of Route 11 and Taft Road, Utica Pizza Company is the proud home of homemade recipes that have withstood the test of time from generation to generation to reach your plate today. Dine in or get takeout by calling 315-214-3060. That's 315-214-3060 for takeout from Utica Pizza Company, which is now the proud home of the Wake Up Call special, Chicken Salt and Boca, available 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Go to Utica Pizza Company Monday through Sunday, open for you on 628 South Main Street in North Syracuse, New York. Located in the Main's Plaza near Sweetheart Corners at the intersection of Route 11 and Taft Road.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. If you haven't become a member of both, it's free to do so, so make sure you do that today. You won't miss a minute of my Elite Eight coverage and everything that comes from here. So WakeUpCallDT.com, on the top of the page you can subscribe or register to become a member. Either or is free. And on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. If you become a member, you'll never miss a live show again. You'll be emailed every time the show goes live, and you'll be able to talk with me in the live chat room. I want to make a quick note
with Parisi Speed School, which you can find at CNY Family Sports Center on Jones Road in Baldwinsville, New York. They are doing a Biggest Loser competition. It's 10 weeks, 4 sessions every week, plus access to all the adult classes, 3 one-hour nutrition consultations every 3 weeks, and the prizes are the winning team will receive $1,800, second place team will receive $300 to share, and $175 credit towards Parisi Speed School each, and then all contestants receive a customized team t-shirt. So, to look at this program, once again, it's going to be the Biggest Loser competition at Parisi Speed School in Baldwinsville, New York, Jones Road, CNY Family Sports Center is where Parisi Speed School is located. Contestants will undergo rigorous professional metabolic training designed for weight loss. Teams will weigh in and have their body fat percentage measured every other week, starting with the first day of class. Each team will meet with our registered dietitian 3 times every 3 weeks for a consultation and advice. So every 3 weeks, you're going to be meeting with the dietitian, the registered dietitian. The class cost is $200 per month for 3 months. If you sign up with a team of 3, you get $50 off each. To register, you can email kvmccarthy17@gmail.com for Kevin McCarthy. That's kvmccarthy17, the number 17, at gmail.com. Or you can call 315-635-5019. That's 315-635-5019. Important dates to know. This will be going from April 11th to the award ceremony on June 25th. So there's going to be right after March Madness here, right after a champion is decided, we're jumping into it. So it's great for you to do from April into June because it will give you that body that you want to take care of yourself. If you're going on vacation with the family, the kids are getting out of school, you want to take care of your body, you want to look good on the beach. If you're a young kid, you're going out there, you want to look good, you want to go out, you know, want to enjoy yourself this summer, whatever it may be, you got to take care of your body. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to take care of your body. And I know that when I've gone out on vacation, you know, I want to look nice when I'm on the beach. You want to take your shirt off, feel good about yourself. And so for men and women, as well as for kids in the community, if you're looking to lose weight in Central New York, the class you have to do is the Biggest Loser competition at Parisi Speed School. It is on Jones Road in the CNY Family Sports Center. It starts on April 11th. And it runs to June 25th. There's going to be an award ceremony. And like I said before, the winning team receives $1,800. Second place gets $300 to share. And they get a $75 credit toward Parisi Speed School each. Everybody gets a customized t-shirt for being a part of it. So please call 315-635-5019 for more information. That's 315-635-5019 to speak to Kevin McCarthy about what's coming up here in the Biggest Loser competition for Parisi Speed School in Central New York. So, you know, I know a lot of people are trying to lose weight. I hear people talk about it all the time. You want to take care of your body. I want to take care of mine as well. So when it comes to doing something good for yourself and you can have a team effort, you're not doing it alone. That's the biggest thing with people working out. They don't want to be alone. So get in the Biggest Loser competition by calling 315-635-5019. And let them know that Dan Tortora sent you. Talking with me live right now is Syracuse Orange alum and the keeper, just as we said last show, the keeper of 147 career starts. They're his. You cannot take them away. And that's none other than Mr. Brandon Trish. So I'm very happy to have him on the show. Brandon, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And first and foremost, man, you were on teams while you were at Syracuse that had their struggles, but also found their grace. So I want to start there. When you look at this year's team, does it remind you of anything that you saw from your own team when you were at Syracuse?
It's just, you know, a lot of ups and downs. A lot of times, like, kind of like people forget about you. I know Syracuse this year, I know even with me, just being a fan, just watching the guys, like, oh, man, we lost another one. You know, after a while, you want to give up as a fan, and I understand it sometimes, but you see there's millions of fans now that they're winning games, you know, everybody I even tell you know, some of the guys, you know Mike Benedict, Trev, and those guys. I'm like, dude, it don't matter what you do in the regular season. As long as you make it to the tournament, that's when everybody looks upon it as something being great. And that's when the memories begin, you know. So, I mean, that's what they do. I'm happy for those guys.
When you look at that, when you say, like, it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season, it matters what you do in the tournament, it matters what you do at this point. Syracuse was said by so many that after losing 5 out of 6, and, you know, obviously losing in the ACC tournament first game to Pittsburgh, it was 3 losses to Pittsburgh, that they didn't deserve to get into the tournament. I did a bubble watch right before Selection Sunday that had 12 teams, and I made it very clear. I said Syracuse, there was teams I would have put in, there's teams I'd take out. Syracuse was on that median line, and I said if you let in Oregon State, USC, and Vanderbilt, who I don't think should be in the tournament, you got to let Syracuse in. And those three teams proved me right. They all lost their first game. Syracuse got in as well, but they've won. When you look at the tournament, Brandon, to win a game, do you feel like if you essentially, even if it's just one game, if you win in the NCAA tournament, have you proven that you deserve to be there?
I don't think necessarily that happens. I mean, because if you look at the teams who play against, who just won a tournament, it could be some team that's like, you know, has like 2,000 kids in their school, but just a low Division One. And you know, it's always miracle teams. I don't necessarily think, you know, because they won a game, they're more deserving than a big school like Michigan State for losing their first game. Like, you compare those two teams, you're like, okay, well, who deserves it more, Michigan State or the team that happens to win a game? You know, so I think it's all relative. But I think for Syracuse, I think it's a mixture of, like, comparing, I guess, this season with, like, how they normally are. You know, just going into the postseason with 19 wins, I don't remember the last time we actually made the tournament without 20 wins. You know what I mean? So for people to say that, I guess, and a lot of people also say, like, the NCAA tournament in general is it's a lot of mediocrity. So maybe this probably would have been the only season that you would let, I guess, lesser teams who would normally make the tournament into it versus teams who kind of achieve in lesser than what they normally achieve.
When you see this tournament, speaking here with Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum Brandon Trish, when you look at this tournament, you obviously were a part of it, and you know what it's like to go through this. Bring me into 2012-2013. At the end of that season, the run in the NCAA tournament, just what you can say about your final go-around and the moments that you had, because 2012-13 kind of comes into full view right now with this year's team.
Yeah, for sure. Man, we were struggling, especially, you know, I think we lost like 5 out of our last 6 or something like that. But I think what was a little bit different was that when we got to the Big East tournament, I really felt that we actually needed to win some games to get into the tournament, which I also thought, you know, Syracuse had to do the same thing, but, you know, they got it anyways, but this year. But, you know, we got our momentum playing in the Big East. You know, we were able to string off, I think, 4 wins, ultimately winning a first half of the championship game and get destroyed the second half. But as a team, our chemistry got so tight. We knew that it wasn't, you know, it was just within our locker room that we needed to become, you know, better. And it was just little things, like just making sure that we don't quit on plays, we go the extra mile. And I think the one thing we knew is that defense is going to propel us, and that's the same thing this year. We're a little thin with the big guys, so guys like Elijah have to do extra. He has to be 6'9". You know, he's probably a small forward playing center right now, but he's giving up, you know, some size just for the team. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's great, man. It's an awesome feeling when you're an underdog and you have to pull something that doesn't have anything to do with talent to win games.
Do you feel like
when you look back at the run in 2013, your senior season, your final season, do you feel like when you went through Montana, California, Indiana, Marquette, and then lost to Michigan by five, when you look back on that run, do you feel like people expected you to win some of those games, or were you, because from my perspective covering it, I saw it like people were happy Syracuse got in the tournament, then you beat Montana, okay, California, and then all of a sudden, what'd you say?
Yeah, Indiana was, I think, those teams, Indiana, which I think surprised, people, not the fact that we won, we dominated, like, we were dominating the teams we were playing. Like, first of all, like, they're happy we got in, but we actually dominated our first, four wins. But Montana, like you said, California, we dominated. Indiana, we dominated. Marquette, we dominated in Final Four. Obviously, it was an up-and-down game. But I think the way we was winning, we were winning, like, we were maybe, like, a one or two seed. You know what I mean? So, and I think people didn't expect that we've actually locking, I think guys, I'm not sure if it's like a tournament record or something. I think we held like teams shooting like 39% or something like that. I think it was something like that. But
yeah,
I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah,
how we were able to do it, not more so because the fact that we actually did it.
And when you look at that run, you were there with Trevor Cooney, who was at the bottom of the bench, not playing that much. Daywon Coleman was not playing, and you look also at the fact that Mike Benajay was a part of that team that was, you know, he was a transfer, so he was sitting out. So when you look back at that moment and you know that Mike, the last time that Mike and Trevor and Daywon saw a Final Four, they weren't involved. What can you say about these three guys and being happy for these three gentlemen, knowing that when you were there last time and they were there with you, you were on the floor, they were kind of watching. So what can you say about knowing that those three have an opportunity knocking on the door to go to their own Final Four?
I think it's just a cool experience in general. I think with those guys, obviously being a freshman at that time, obviously Mike wasn't there. I didn't think Mike was able to travel, you know. So I don't think he actually went to the game, but obviously he's ready for practice every time he got back. But for Trevor and Daywon, it's a different experience. From my freshman year to my senior year, I feel like my freshman year I already knew that I had another year. Sophomore year, I got another year. Junior year, I got another. So going into your senior season, thinking like this is all we, like all I have, you know what I mean? Like, it meant a lot more, just being one of the leaders of the team. So I think for Daywon, I believe he has one more year as well. But even more so for Trevor, it's his last go-around. So you're going to notice he's going to make a lot more plays or go, you know, diving for pass balls and stuff like that, just because he knows that he needs to put everything out there. It's just, you know, it's a different mentality, I guess.
Speaking here with Brandon Trish, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, when you look at the Sweet 16 game that brought Syracuse into the Elite Eight, like you said, you know, Trevor knows it's his last go-around, so if you see him make more plays, you see him go after it more, he knows he doesn't have another year. Same thing with Mike Benajay. When Mike obviously went up and the team's down by a point, they're down 60-59, he takes contact on the way to the rim. He had taken contact before that wasn't called. The refs were letting him play. When he took that contact, you see some players that don't have the wherewithal of the game and maybe don't have the maturity will turn around and complain to a ref while the other team's taking the ball up the court. He did not turn. He kept his eye on the ball. After he got hit, he went down, grabbed the ball, put it back up, gave Syracuse the lead 61-60. Trevor Cooney, 11 seconds left in the game, steps in on the baseline and grabs the ball. He had to run across that court to make sure that he did, across that half court, to make sure that he made that play. Like Jim Boeheim was talking about, not only did Trevor make a play, he was coming a lot farther to get over to the ball to do that. Just what you can say about the effort of these guys and knowing these guys, you just made mention, if you see them do some plays that maybe you don't see all the time or you see them really get after it, it's because they know this is the last go-around. What can you say about their efforts, especially against Gonzaga? Without Mike and without Trevor, they wouldn't have won the game.
I think just those last two plays are like epitomized what Syracuse basketball is when we're playing great. So Trevor, the idea that he made that extra effort to get that steal, and we talk about like a lot of times when we play, we talk about getting that steal. So when a guy's going, you know, you get scrambled, you scramble around a little bit. The guy maybe goes on a baseline and he can't see where you're going. You know what I mean? But it's that extra effort just to know that a lot of people are, you know, is going to make that pass. That kind of epitomizes that extra effort. And then Lydon, obviously, you know, taking the extra steps to make the block shot. You know what I mean? Those are two great plays. But as far as Mike, that's how the game was going. So for him, he's going to the basket, maybe first couple times, you know, he thought he should have probably got fouled. But, you know, when it's 10 seconds left, because he was knowing the way the refs were calling the game, he knew that, you know, he might not get a foul. Let me just play until I hear a whistle versus waiting for the whistle. You know, so, I mean, last three plays of the game, you know, those are all winning plays. I mean, if you have more winning plays than losing plays, that's usually the outcome is a win. So, I'm just happy for those guys, man. Like, that's Syracuse basketball.
And when you say that Syracuse basketball, how do you define Syracuse basketball, Brandon?
For me, I think never quitting. I mean, a lot of times when we were playing, even, I think the game they had against Pittsburgh, for instance, they're down with 11 points. Like 2 minutes ago, they come all the way back. You know, have a chance to pretty much tie the game. That's Syracuse basketball. Man, we put the zone on. We have a great coach who schemes in the right way. I think he's one of the best guys who makes adjustments during the game. One of the best. You know, every time he call a play out, and I feel like every time he call a play out and I write up a play, typically it works. Even like us going from the zone into like the full court press, a lot of those signs when we go full court press, it works, and it works to our favor. So same thing with Gonzaga. I think we got down either 7 late, and it was like, oh man, what's gonna happen? Yeah, you know, try to get the steal and get another steal. So I mean, that's basketball. I think that's Syracuse basketball. Just never quitting. You know, keeping our heads over water. I think that's right there. You know, just being able to fight. Syracuse basketball, we always fight.
Brandon, when you look at what this team has been this season and where they've come from, what they've done, you talk about that Syracuse basketball, that fight, that belief that they can do this. When you were going through the tournament and you were obviously going up against some pretty difficult matchups, at least on paper, that Indiana was supposed to be tough, and Marquette, with Buzz Williams there, was supposed to present some trouble for you, and Michigan, obviously, was supposed to, in the high post, present some trouble. I want to go into the full court press because you brought it up. When Syracuse uses it, especially this year, it's been used very seldomly, but when Boeheim institutes the press, it seems to work. There are turnovers, at least for two plays in a row, it's strong, but Boeheim said, listen, we can run our press for about 2 minutes, and that's all that it's good for. There's been that critique from the outside looking in, that if the press works, which it seems to do whenever Boeheim uses it, why not do it more? What can you say to that?
I think that's true, but then it depends on the team. Like my junior year, we had like 11 strong players, right? So we would do it during the game or in the beginning. Like, we would do it way more, and that's what made our team dominant, because we had guys to rotate. Okay, you can't rotate, you know, by six or seven guys, like, they're going to get tired, you know what I mean? So you kind of got to reserve it until you really need it, and then, like, all right, this is our final push, give it your all, you know what I mean? So you have to have the team, you know, that fits pressing, you know, on and on, you get what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
So this year team isn't obviously, you know, coaches, you know, advocate like the best five out on the court at all times. So, I mean, that's why he probably don't play as many guys. But, I mean, the times he uses it, it always works. Maybe if it was 30 seconds sooner, probably would have got two more turnovers and we'd get, you know, give us a better chance. But ultimately, every time he uses the press, you know, it's pretty much a tie game, and it's up to the players with, you know, 40 seconds left to make the correct play. You know, so, I mean, for this year, I say he did a great job. He's doing a great job using it.
Brandon, before I let you go, the high post is something that teams use to try and exploit the 2-3 zone. Anthony Gill, for all that he does for Virginia, has been strong. Malcolm Brogdon has become more and more of a leader, if that's even possible. London Perantes, just what he's been able to do in shooting the ball and moving the ball around. Devin Hall has been strong in the backcourt for Virginia. Mike Toby inside has had some good moments against Syracuse, and he's coming off a good game against Iowa State. When you look at the depth and the talent and the leadership and the experience of Virginia, and knowing that Syracuse played them close, they lost by 8 on the road, and like Malcolm Brogdon said yesterday, he said, listen, nobody comes into JPJ and plays us that close, and Syracuse did. So what can you say about the first game against Virginia this year and what you think about Virginia, knowing that they have leadership, they have experience, and they also seem to have some respect for Syracuse?
I think ultimately this Virginia defense kind of stifles Syracuse and a lot of people. They won't shut you down, like just, you know, straight shut you down and you score 40 points, but they do a really good job of getting the key stops. All right, so for them, I don't think they're like really offensively gifted, but they're really steady and consistent throughout the game, which sometimes is a problem for us, you know. They take away Mike and Trevor. What do we do? Who's gonna score the ball? Now you need Malachi, you need maybe Tyler to go above their means, you know, and have a career game. So I think just Virginia in general, they do a good job playing inside and out. Obviously, Brogdon is their best player, and he's good around the basket. He's their best defender. He's making three-pointers this year. So, I mean, I think that team is just really complete. And I think we just need, I mean, for us to beat those guys, I think we just need a big effort, either defensively or offensively. You know, and defensively, we've been playing good so far this tournament, so.
Malachi was saying that he had to step his game up against Gonzaga. He made the statement, I was playing like a complete high schooler. He just wanted to see more out of himself. What can you say about Malachi, Frank Howard, Tyler Lydon? I know you talked about Tyler a little bit earlier on here, speaking with Brandon Trish, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. But when you look at this freshman class, is this one of the best freshman class that you've seen when you look at the fact that these three guys have increasingly have been so important to the team?
Yeah, they're probably the best three since, you know, probably, what was it, Johnny Flynn, Dante Green, who was it, Miles? Another freshman, I think, school. Probably the best since those guys, as far as productivity, those guys actually played a lot of minutes. That team actually kind of reminds me of this team. But, yeah, man, I think one thing with the young guys is consistency. The great ones, you know, they find a way to be consistent throughout the whole season. And that's, you know, usually the top picks. So you don't kind of expect, you know, it's great for Malachi, you know, to expect him to play great every game. But, you know, it's expected. You know, have one great game and then one game that's apart. But as seniors, I mean, once you have that experience, you figure those guys are going to play well and always going to be there. You know, that's why a lot of coaches lean against guys who are upperclassmen. But I think, I mean, they've been playing great. I mean, if you're not playing well offensively, then what can you do to help the team in other ways? You know, get steals, get rebounds, make the correct pass, you know, maybe don't turn the ball over as much. So it's just, I think those guys have been doing an awesome job. And, you know, and obviously in Elite with Elite Eight because of those guys.
Do you see a Final Four in this team's future? I mean, when you look at this, I know you're always supportive of Syracuse, but you knew just a couple years ago what it was like to push to get to a place where people didn't expect you to be. This team is even more so in a place where people don't expect them to be. What can you say about any parallels from your team to this team, and if you think they can do this?
Sometimes, you know, an NCAA tournament, you just have to, you know, you go for the team that's like most talented, who's typically gonna beat everybody. Then you got, what's so cool about tournament, then you got like the luck of the draw. I think Syracuse this year, it's a mix of talent and having a luck of the draw. You know, first game they played against a 7 seed in Dayton. Michigan State loses to Middle Tennessee. They played a 15 seed to go to the Sweet 16. Now to go to Elite Eight, they play 11 seed. So I think the way things are going, and it's all about momentum and playing great basketball, that anything can happen. I think we got our confidence. You know, when you win three games in a tournament, you know, it can do a lot for the psyche of any team. So, I mean, obviously, I think Virginia has our number as far as us going head up with them, but ACC. Conference play is way different than, you know, March Madness, and I look for, you know, a different result. I think they have a great opportunity to make it to the Final Four, the best opportunity that I think most teams, you know, I think a lot of teams would wish they, you know, took the path that Syracuse did, and I think we're going to take advantage of this. You know, a team that's an underdog, I think we like that position.
Lastly for you, Brandon, when you look at this matchup and you look at where Syracuse has gotten to get to this point, some people have made the statement, well, Syracuse, they had the easiest road there. Of course they're going to win. They beat Dayton and they beat a 15 seed and they beat an 11 seed. So of course they're going to.
Yeah, but that don't matter. No one remembers who you played and what you did. Like, you made it 2016, Syracuse, Elite Eight. That's all you remember. 2016, round of four. That's all you remember. You don't like, okay, they played the easiest, you know? So, people can say what they want to say, but the tournament is the tournament. You can't fix it. You can't help it. You know what I mean? There's nothing you can possibly do. You know, and you don't know what seed you're going to be, so you don't know who's going to win. You don't know who's going to lose. So, I think that's the cool part, you know? It just happened, I think, in our favor. Obviously, be playing against teams that's probably considered less in talent, and the way that they set it up, that's because of the number system. But hey, I mean, if it wasn't us, then it would have been another team. So,
right. And at the end of the day, for anybody that says that Syracuse had an easy road, you can ask Michigan State about that.
Exactly.
Well, Brandon,
somebody had to lose. Somebody had to lose for it to be an easy road. So.
Well, Brandon, as always, you know, I can talk to you all day. It's a pleasure to have you here on the show, and I look forward to catching up with you again soon. Thank you for taking some time today.
All right, man.
All right, take care. Once again, Brandon Trish, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, joining me here on the show. Leo Routens before that. Two more Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum will be joining me. Still a little bit sick here, but able to get down to Chicago, so very happy I did. Brandon Trish, just on the show. Leo Routens, like I was saying, was on before. And coming up next, we have Gene Waldron as well as Louis Orr that will join me. Both Jim Boeheim's former players as well. So four former Syracuse players today on the show live as Syracuse hopes for a Final Four berth. So the number four could be something that's foreshadowing, I don't know. But as we move forward here, we're going to take a step aside, listen to my great partners that help make it possible to bring Dan Tortora live here, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora down here, speaking in third person. So then maybe the medicine's got me a little bit delirious, but Wake Up Call, pardon me, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is live here in Chicago, Illinois, and I'll be back with Gene Waldron in just a few minutes.
The Market Diner prides itself on bringing the local community fresh ingredients that are better than going elsewhere. Open for breakfast, served all day, lunch and dinner with daily specials. The Market Diner is located at the Regional Market on Park Street, right across from Destiny USA. For takeout, call 315-474-5247. The Market Diner. Local. Fresh. Better.
Dan, this bouncing on these trampolines is so much fun.
I know. Why didn't we come here sooner?
I don't ever want to leave.
We don't have to. We're kind of doing the commercial like this right now.
And it seems like it's great for all ages.
It is fun for all ages.
I'd like to have my birthday party here.
They have birthday parties here all the time. You can dunk. You can play dodgeball. Wait, Nick, duck! You could go into the obstacle course. There's so many things to do here, Nick. And it's open all year round.
This seems pretty safe, too.
It is safe. It's for people of all ages. You can bring your family here. It's great for your body. It's great to get off some steam. It's great to have a good time. And all you have to do to book an event is call 315-948-3100.
Wait, Dan, what's that number again? I was bouncing.
315-948-3100.
Actually, is there a website I could go to?
Yeah, the website's getairsyracuse.com. Just like we're doing right now, we're getting some air.
All right, Dan, I'm going to get more air, and then I'm going to go to that website to check out what other fun things I could do with Air Syracuse.
Yeah, you can find out more at getairsyracuse.com. You should really make your way over here. It's located right across from Driver's Village, 7687 Frontage Road in Cicero.
Get hopping!
Get air!
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, DreissIg Lady.com, with the Bamboo Line Relaxed Fit Clothing as well as the Athletic Fit Clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel. DreissIg Lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing. And don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissIg Lady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calachibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calachibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place,
but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria, truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. I am live down here in Chicago, Illinois. I'm very happy to be able to say that for the first time ever. Live in Washington, D.C., live in St. Louis, Missouri, now live in Chicago, Illinois. Will I be live in Houston, Texas? Well, we'll find out very soon. I'm very happy to have on the show here with me Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum Gene Waldron, who has been a part of the show for a while, a friend of mine, and somebody who I just really appreciate talking to. So I'm happy to have him here on the show. Gene, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well.
Now, Gene, I know we were talking a little bit off the air here, and I hope you don't mind if I say this, but you said that, you know, this is a good day, but it's a nerve-wracking day that you have to wait until Syracuse tips off at 6:09 p.m. Eastern time. So just what you can say, for a Syracuse alum that's so close with the program and cares so much, how are you spending today to help the time pass?
Well, my wife just made me some pizza. I've walked the dogs a couple of times, doing some laundry, and just sitting here having good conversation with my wife, just talking about the past couple of games that they won and how well they've done. I'm just trying to stay busy. I mean, 6 o'clock can't come quick enough for me.
And when you look at this, I mean, to say that obviously you're trying to be patient and get to the game, but the fact that Syracuse got to this game, just what you can say about a team that lost 5 out of their last 6, didn't do anything in the ACC tournament, then all of a sudden they get an opportunity in the NCAA tournament and they have a run with it so far. And there's 351 teams in NCAA Division I men's basketball. There's 32 conferences, and Syracuse is one of the last 8. So this is a win no matter what when you look at that statistic. But what can you say about their run and what they've been able to do that a team losing 5 out of 6 turns around and comes in the NCAA tournament and wins 3 in a row so far?
I think you have to put a lot of that on the coaching staff, the preparation that those guys have given these kids to prepare themselves for the NCAA. I mean, there's one thing about, you know, the Hall of Fame. He gets his kids ready to play. And they've done an excellent job in preparing themselves. Their mindset is good. And I remember speaking to you a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about, you know, players being ready. Robinson is ready. Coleman is ready. And those guys are playing out their skin right now, and I think that's really lifted the team. And they're playing with such confidence right now. It's just unbelievable. Very proud of being an ex-Archman.
When you look at, I want to start with Tyler Lydon and what he's done. I mean, I went up to him after the game, and people can watch the video on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. But the first thing that I said to him before I turned the camera on, I was like, nice block out there. And he looked up at me. He's just a very calm, humble kid. And I was like, no big deal. And he kind of laughed and he just looked up. But this is someone who, that's how he is. I mean, you look at him and you're like, you just made the block that helped save the season for Syracuse. And he's like, oh, thanks. But when you look at him specifically, and then I want to talk about the team as a whole, Gene, what can you say about that play, the fact that he was willing to put his body out there, potentially be called for a foul? To go after a block, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to foul the guy, or you're going to get that block. He not only got the block, but he went after the ball to get fouled and then went down and made 2 free throws. He's a true freshman. This is his first go-around. What can you say about Tyler Lydon and what he's meant to this team at this point?
I think he surprised a lot of people this year. You know, I remember early in the season I said this kid is going to be a player, and he's proven that now. I mean, for him, he's been making plays like that all season. And for him to step up to make that crucial block, it was huge. It just goes to show the confidence that he has in his game.
When you see this team and where they've gotten to at this point, when I go into the locker room, when I went into the locker room in St. Louis for 2 games, when I went into the locker room just recently after the Sweet 16 victory over Gonzaga,
for Syracuse here in Chicago, Illinois. Yes, there's a team that they'll put a video up after the game and they'll dance a little bit, but there's business when I go in and see this team in the locker room. They're sitting there, they're focused. I mean, if you walked in that locker room, you don't know if they won or lost. They're very serious, they're very focused. They're looking on to the next game, they're moving forward. I can say that this is probably the most serious, most business-like I've seen this Syracuse team all year is how they've been in the NCAA tournament. What can you say to that factor that when you go into the locker room, it's business, it's yes, we won, there's more work to do. What can you say about that?
I think a lot of that goes down to when you Cooney and Benajay, those are the leaders of that team, and they understand what's at stake right now. You know, and I think it resonates with the rest of the team. Those guys are about business, and they're expected to win. You know, I heard Benajay say, you know, we're expected to win. The way that they're playing, they're expected to win. And I think that they have a chance or the opportunity to do that, and I think they know that.
Having the chance and having the opportunity, I have to bring this up because it's been brought up, it's been talked about. It's not my feeling on this team. I mean, Lord knows I was probably the one, or if not on a very small number of people in the media that believed in the preseason that this team could make a run, and I was criticized like heck for it. And to all I have to say to that is please look at the Elite Eight and what's left in the tournament. But when you see this team and you see what they've been through and what they've gone through, some people have said, hey, they had the easiest road in the NCAA tournament. They played Dayton. They played a 15 seed. They played an 11 seed out of the West Coast Conference. You know, Syracuse should be here. It's been an easy road. What can you say to those critics?
Well, I would say it's total nonsense. Michigan State lost. Everyone said we were going to lose to Middle Tennessee. We crushed them. They said we were going to lose the next game. We crushed them. They said we were going to lose to Gonzaga. We beat them. It's not our fault who we play, but what's big is that when we played, we won. That's all that matters. When we played, we won. It doesn't matter who we played against. When we got on the court, we won. So all the critics that are saying all this stuff, when we got on the court, we won. Plain and simple.
When you look at this, and I brought this up before, I brought it up to Frank Howard. I also talked to Leo Routens about it a little bit, and I want to get your thought on it as well. When this team lost Boeheim for 9 games, obviously they struggled. They went 4-5, and then they did some good things after, but they struggled a little bit too. Obviously, at the end of the season, losing 5-6 to end the regular season and lose that ACC tournament first game that they played against Pittsburgh. But my question to them and my question to you is this. Syracuse is kind of catching its stride right now. Do you think that this would have happened maybe a little bit sooner if Boeheim wasn't gone for 9 games?
That's a really good question. It's tough to tell, but what I do know is that they've gotten better, you know, and not having your head coach there will hurt any team. Once he came back, they got better and better and better. And I think when you look at it right now, you know, he's got them really playing good basketball. I don't know if it hurt, but I just know that they've gotten better, you know. And like a lot of people said, that wasn't Hopkins' team. That's Coach Boeheim's team. So it had to be tough on Hopkins. But at the end of the day, look where they're at right now. They're playing really good basketball, and I think you have to put that down to the Hall of Famer and his staff.
When you look at Jim Boeheim and you look at this staff, not many teams can boast of this around the country, that everybody on the staff is a former player at the school in which they coach. Adrian Autry, Jerry McNamara, Mike Hopkins, Jim Boeheim. What can you say about this coaching staff and what they've done with the talent that they've had this year? Is this maybe, in your opinion, one of the best jobs that Jim Boeheim has done with the talent that he's had and the lack of depth that he's had, only 2 players coming off the bench? Is this one of the best years that he's coached when it comes to the talent that he has?
Well, I think he's always had years where he's coached very, very well. But, you know, those assistant coaches are an extension of the head coach. I mean, they exactly know what the coach wants, and they
What can you say about a coach that's translated to student-athletes for four decades?
Well, you know, that's a funny question, but, you know, he's always there. You know, he's a coach that will get the most out of his players, no matter what. He gets the most out of his players, and he will let you know if you're doing something wrong. But I just think that what he's done this year is just phenomenal.
And as you move forward, as we look forward here, speaking with Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum Gene Waldron, Mike Benajay, let's go there. Let's talk about him. There was a play that he made that I thought really showed his maturity and really showed an NBA type of play. Showed a boy turn into a man, or a man stay a man, however you want to look at it. But it was a man play when you could have made a boy play. And that was when the team was down to Gonzaga 60-59. He goes in, he drives to the lane, he tries to go up and make the shot at the rim. And just like throughout the game, they had been letting him play. He gets hit, no foul called. Yeah. Instead of turning around, saying, come on, ref, turn around, putting his hands up, yelling, screaming, not paying attention. He looks right at the ball goes up, he watches it, the ball comes down, he sees his space, he fights through the defense, he grabs the ball, he puts it up, Syracuse goes up 61-60, and ultimately wins the game. Just what you can say about that headsy play by Mike Benajay and what Mike has been all season long to this team.
Well, I think that's something that he's been doing all season. You know, he's just been great at times for Syracuse, and that's what just another indication. I mean, he never gave up on the play. You know, for him to get that rebound and put it back in was phenomenal.
And then to see Trevor Cooney, and I wrote a story about this called the steal that was not given its due.
Tell me about it.
Now, he got that steal. He kept his foot in bounds, and he was mauled by Gonzaga. No foul called, and obviously they called him out of bounds with 11 seconds to go. But I want to look at that play in the bigger picture, the bigger scope of things. When people talk about Trevor Cooney, 9 times out of 10, it's about the three-point shot. He was 2 of 5. He was 2 of 10. He was 4 of 5, whatever it may be. But people constantly focus on, he's got to make threes in order for me to like Trevor Cooney. Well, Boeheim said one or two seasons ago, I think it might have been 2 seasons ago, he had made the statement. I was in the post-game press conference at the Dome, and he said, listen, for all of you that are focusing on Trevor making threes, you don't know basketball. I'm going to play him based on how he plays defense. Yes, it's good if he makes shots, and it helps the team if he makes shots, but what's going to keep him on the floor is his defense. Now, in the last three seasons, he's averaged over a steal per game. He has been very effective in that realm. He obviously was effective to stop a play against Gonzaga. When you look at Trevor Cooney overall, not just three-point shooter, what do you see out of Trevor?
Well, I see a complete player, a guy that never gives up, plays hard for every minute that he's in the game, and he wants to win. I mean, he never gives up. And I've seen him in practice. He works harder than most people that I've seen in a long time. So you have to give credit where credit is due. He never gives up, and he's always willing to fight. He will die for balls. He'll do whatever it takes to win, and he showed that against Gonzaga.
Looking at the group overall, Malachi Richardson and Frank Howard, these freshmen, we talked about Lydon as a freshman, but looking at Malachi and Frank, what have they meant to the backcourt of this team and to the team in general? I mean, you're somebody who is no stranger at times to bringing the ball up for Cuse. When you look at Malachi and you look at Frank, what have they meant to the team this year, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I think they brought a lot of maturity to the team as freshmen, which is really good. They played with a lot of composure. You know, Howard's come along greatly, and I think Malachi has just been playing very, very well. But, you know, as freshmen, to do what they're doing is spectacular. You know, I got to give them a lot of credit because it's not easy playing under that kind of pressure. But they're handling it very well. And then again, you have to put that down to the coaching staff. Get those kids ready.
Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum Gene Waldron. Before I let you go, Gene, two guys that you were talking to me about before we jumped on the air here, and those guys are Daywan Coleman and Tyler Roberson, the play inside. Now, Sabonis averages a double-double. He got that. Wiltshire, 20 points a game. He got more than that. So they did what they needed to do on paper. However, Syracuse did cancel out a lot with Sabonis, especially at moments in the second half and at the end of the first half. And there were times they got in the face of Wiltshire late in the game and were not allowing him a clean look at a three-point shot. When we look at the help defense from the front court, we look at what Tyler Roberson, and then we look in the center at Daywon Coleman. What can you say about their play defensively, their play most recently, and what you've been seeing from Roberson and Coleman overall?
I think it's phenomenal. Those guys have really bought an edge to the game that needed to be. I mean, because if they're not playing well, I don't think Syracuse is where they're at right now. I think they've done an excellent job on paying attention to details, especially Roberson, paying attention to details in that zone. You know, teams are going to score, but they're making them work to score. And I just think if he continues to play the way he's doing, Coleman and Lydon, if they continue to play the way that they've played these last three games, we've got a really good chance to make it to the Final Four.
Tyler Roberson, he was called out by Jim Boeheim. I don't want to use the word called out because that's not the word that I'm looking for.
He was called out.
let me put it like this. When we were in St. Louis, I spoke with Jim Boeheim in one of the press conferences, and he admitted to calling out Tyler Roberson. And then when I said, you know, you called out Tyler, he said yesterday going into the Elite Eight game, I never called him out. So however you want to view it, he said in the media, if I had anybody else, he wouldn't play a minute for me, speaking of Tyler Roberson. Tyler has responded by being one of the most effective people that I have seen in the NCAA tournament as far as rebounding the ball and changing plays for teams and changing possessions. And I think Jim's brought it up, but I've definitely seen it. Roberson, on paper, you say, okay, he's got a good amount of rebounds. He has more than that because tipping the ball out, creating opportunities.
Absolutely.
He's actually, you can look at this guy and say that maybe, you know, 12 rebounds a game is adequate to say for him, or 13 rebounds a game for what he's been able to do this season. So let's go into Tyler. He has obviously taken what Jim has said. He has taken what has gone on this season. He's seen his high points, and now he's becoming more of a consistent player. So how do you view it, and what can you say about it?
Well, I just think what Coach Boeheim said, all he was doing was lighting a fire under him. That's all he was doing, and he responded very well. You know, sometimes coaches do that. You know, coach is a master at it. He'll say something, and then you'll click, and off you go. And Tyler right now, I mean, the way that he's playing right now is crucial to the reason why they're at where they're at right now. And I just think that he has to continue to do that. If there's a letdown, the search is going to struggle tonight.
So I have to ask you, Gene, looking at this game, it's Virginia, it's Syracuse. We are where we are right now. Syracuse lost to Virginia in the regular season in January on the road in the JPJ. But Malcolm Brogdon said, listen, people don't play as close like Syracuse did in the JPJ. I think they had to make 8 threes to win the game. So when you look at that game, this team, how Syracuse has grown at this point, what can you say about the upcoming matchup between Virginia and Syracuse round two?
I just think that it's going to be a battle of wills. You know, Virginia is very well coached in the man-to-man. Syracuse is very well coached in the zone. I would like to see a running gun style game with Syracuse getting the ball off the rim and getting down the court. And I think Virginia would like to slow the game down. I think if it's in the 60s, it's going to be, it can go either way. But if we can get up in the 70s and up to high 70s, 80s, I think Syracuse will have a chance to win.
That coming from Gene Waldron. And Gene, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show and to talk with you. And, you know, depending on what's happening, I'll either keep traveling or I'll be back. But either way, I'll see you soon.
Okay, bud. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Gene Waldron, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, and here a part of the show. And he is our third, so our fourth is coming up next. We'll take a step aside right now. You'll hear from more of my phenomenal partners that help make Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on the road live in Chicago, Illinois, possible. So listen in to them, and then we're right back at it. Louis Orr is going to join me next to round out this Syracuse Orange men's basketball coverage show from Chicago, Illinois.
Here is Stacy Tanner, owner of Ole Ole, talking about the freshest Mexican food you will find.
Every year as a family, we go to Mexico on vacation, and we love the cuisine. We love the freshness of the food. We can promise you freshly made food. Nothing comes in a package here. We got a bag of rice and a bag of beans, and the rest is all fresh vegetables and meats. We really wanted to represent Mexican cuisine and fresh food, where family and our young people or older people can go have a healthy, good meal. Well, we are located in the Matadale Shopping Plaza. My side faces Woody's Jerkwater, so we are literally neighbors, my husband and I. So we're kind of a side entrance, and that's on Brewerton Road in Matadale. Our phone number is 455-5653 or 455-5-OLE.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000-square-foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
Comic book, toys, gaming, and entertainment fans, this is your wake-up call. Salt City Collecticon is going on Sunday, May 15th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the F-Shed at the Regional Market on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, across from Destiny USA. Buy your pre-sale tickets for $8 by going to Larger Than Life Toys and Comics inside the Great Northern Mall, right off of Route 31 in Clay, or by going to saltcitycollecticon.com. All day long, gaming, opportunity to buy comic books, entertainment, special guests, trivia, and prizes throughout the day, as well as food from Cam's Pizzeria, Carvel DeWitt, Q Dogs, and Ole Ole Mexican Restaurant. You can't afford to miss Salt City Collecticon, Sunday, May 15th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Proudly brought to you by Larger Than Life Toys and Comics, Syracuse Nerd, Rainy Toad Gaming, and Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora. Buy your tickets now at Larger Than Life Toys and Comics inside the Great Northern Mall or on saltcitycollecticon.com.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Serving the Central New York community for over six decades, the Penn and Trophy Center, located on 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, is your home for custom engraving of plaques, awards, trophies, clocks, watches, as well as personalized gifts, sports awards, and so much more. When it comes to finding the right gift for anyone in your family, on your team, or in your business, the Penn and Trophy Center is the place to go. 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York. Call now to set up an appointment, 315-422-8797. That's 315-422-8797. Or stop in at 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York. And to see more from Penn and Trophy Center, go to pennandtrophy.com. That's pennandtrophy.com.
Here is Tommy from Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub.
Woody's is going into its 13th year, and you know, we started out as a what we thought was going to be a neighborhood corner bar, which has turned into, you know, a really good sports bar. We're adding 360s TVs, just a really a great place to have a beer and have some food. So that same Irish pub feel where you can go in there and relax and not worry about, you know, what's going on. I take pride in our food. We have burgers, wraps, salads, Cuban. Our wings, obviously, I think are some of the best in the city. We have a great Philly cheesesteak. We have a great Cuban. All my soccer players love the Buffalo Chicken Ranch.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub is located in the Maddiedale Shopping Center off of Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. If you're listening to the show live, thank you so much. And if you're listening to the playback of the show, I appreciate that as well. Louis Orr is here with me now, rounding out four Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. I wanted to do a different show for you. You know, that's what my show has always been about, being original, bringing some comedy, bringing some God, some faith, some love, some life, bringing it all into one show, making it a mixed bag of good things. And I'm very, very happy that on this Easter Sunday, I have had the blessing, and this weekend, of having people take time out of their days and obviously spending time with their family. So I want to say thank you to Leo Routens, thank you to Brandon Trish, thank you to Gene Waldron, and a special thanks to Mr. Louis Orr, Louis Orr, the Louis and Bowie show that people know so well. So I'm very happy to welcome him onto the show as the fourth and final special guest here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois, here for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. And I bring him on to the show right now. And first and foremost, want to say that he is risen. Happy Easter.
Amen.
So let's start with that, Louis. It's a good day for those of us that believe in a higher power, for sure.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. He has risen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So we give him praise and just thank him for loving us unconditionally and completely. Dying on the cross for your sins and mine. So to God be the glory. Amen. Talk to you, man. Happy Easter.
Absolutely to that, and happy Easter to you. If you want to defeat hate in this world, you got to do it with God, or you can't do it. So you got to do it the right
Amen.
Way and do it in a positive way. I know that this Easter is a very special Easter for Syracuse fans around the world because Syracuse is in the Elite Eight, and I want to start there with you, Louis. This is a special season for Syracuse. You know, a lot of people had counted them out. I can actually say that I feel vindicated here on an Easter Sunday, because I was the only person in the preseason that had faith in this team that was willing to publicly announce it, and I was ridiculed for it. So I can honestly say that Elite Eight is pretty good from the way that I looked at this team going into the season. And just what you can say about this year, knowing that this is a team that has been critiqued a lot, they weren't believed in by many, yet here they are in the Elite Eight. Out of 351 schools, there's eight left. So just what you can say about maybe how people have seen them and how they've responded.
Well, hey, you know, you have to give credit where credit's due, you know, and, you know, we have to acknowledge the accomplishment of, you know, Syracuse University Orange. And, you know, they've earned what they've gotten. You know, we always talk about tournament being a new season, and you know, everybody is equal and everything's up for grabs, so they've taken advantage of the opportunity that they have, and you know, they've won close games, they've made big plays, they've been led by some really great senior leadership, and everyone stepped up. So hey, you know, it's a pleasure to see. And this is just my own personal feelings. I always feel with Coach Boeheim, he's always, to me, when people have underestimated his team, to me, he's always really done a great coaching job. Now, he's been a great coach for a lot of years with some great teams, but whenever his teams have been underestimated or, you know, haven't really been looked at, you know, to accomplish a lot for the season or what have you. To me, Coach has been at his best. He's at his best. And it's been like that to me ever since I've known him for 40 years. You know, he's a competitor, and he knows how to put teams together. So, you know,
And absolutely. You know, this is a team that, you know, speak about faith. They've had a lot of faith in themselves. You know, Frank Howard said to me after the Sweet 16 victory over Gonzaga, he said, this team has never turned on each other. We've never listened to outside negativity in the media, what people say that we can't do. We've always bonded together, and we've always stayed together. What can you say about that statement about Syracuse and the fact that that statement came from a true freshman who obviously really does care about this team and has shown that immediately?
Well, he's a young man that seems to be making more and more contributions as the season has went on, and the Crucials coach has trusted him and put him in, doing some really big games in the postseason, and he's responded. So, you know what, that's the beauty of coaching and being a part of a team, as a coach and a player. You know, you do have that bond, you know, and because it, you know, you work all season, you start the spring and the summer before the season starts, you put all this work in, you spend all this time together, and your family. And, you know, you fight together, you cry together, that's what you want, you know, and you're all in it together. So, Syracuse seems to be all in. You know, they are all in, and that's what it takes this time of year.
When you look at fighting and being all in at this time of the year, Syracuse, looking at the fact of who stepped up, Tyler Roberson, believing in himself and believing that he can. He's somebody that Boeheim had obviously addressed in the media during the season and wanted more out of. He did that with Trevor Cooney, it worked. He did that with Rakeem Christmas, it worked. He did it with Tyler Roberson, and it seems to be working. Tyler is a very soft-spoken guy. When I go in there, I mean, I talk to him, he looks me in the eye. I put the video camera on, and he looks away. You know, he's a very kind of calm to himself type of person, and even Boeheim joked about it going into this Elite Eight game, and he's like, this is probably the first time Tyler Roberson has spoken because, you know, he is so quiet, but he's not quiet on the court. What can you say about what he's done and how he's elevated his game? Because it's not that he couldn't do it, it's just that he wasn't doing it consistently. So what can you say about his consistency at the most important time of the season?
You know what? Tyler Roberson, he does what he does, you know. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it the Duke game at Duke where he had 20 or 21 rebounds? Like,
yep, he had 20 rebounds. Yep.
I mean, so he's shown really what level of activity he can accomplish. So I'm not surprised. Different, man. You know, and everyone's different, and we all respond to different things, and you know that's a part of maturity. You know, when things get good to you, and you know, you believe in yourself and the people around you believe in you, that makes a big difference. And I think for him, you just keep battling, man. You know, he's a multiple effort guy. You know, and right now he's living that way. You know, he's a multiple effort player, you know, and you don't quit. So if you're a multiple effort guy, you got to have that mindset. I just from play to play and moment to moment from game to game. So if you know, have your struggles one game, then you bounce back, you give it another effort the next game. You never play. And that's how he plays. That's how Roberson plays. You know, he's an effort guy. So people take rebound and an activity for granted. That's a gift. You know, if you look at guys like Dennis Rodman and out in Ohio, you got a young man that plays with the Cavaliers, Tristan Thompson. If you don't block him out, he's going to get that ball. Even if you do, there's a good chance he's still going to get that rebound. He's a multiple effort guy. And those guys, that's their gift. That's their talent. And with Roberson, that's his talent. You know, he's a high-level activity, energy, multiple effort guy. And those are hard to find. don't think getting called out in the media is what's motivating. You know, I don't think so. I think he's just a determined guy that wants to win. You know, so, you know, and, you know, the relationship that he and coach has is much deeper than what's being said in the media. You know, when you coach a guy for 3 years, the relationship goes much deeper than one or two comments. So, from that perspective, you know, we don't know what's going on the court or behind closed doors. So, I give coach and his staff credit for coaching, and that's what they've been doing, and I give him credit for responding.
When you look at Jim Boeheim and what he's been able to do this year, one of the things about this season was being out for 9 games. The team seems to have caught their stride at this point. When you look at Jim Boeheim not being there for 9 games, do you feel like the team would have connected sooner, clicked sooner, and been in their stride sooner if those 9 games were not taken away from Jim Boeheim, now seeing how the team has responded to him coming back?
There's no question that him being away, it wasn't a positive. You know, it was a negative. You know, it didn't help the team. Now, in the long run, you know, there's some things that they can take from it and grow from it, you know. But, you know, if Coach had been there and been able to coach the team the whole year, they would have, you know, they would have been able to accomplish, I think, more and hit their stride probably earlier. But you always have some peaks and valleys of season. So, you know, that's not unusual. But, I think, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says God works all things together for the good. Romans 8:28, for those that love the Lord are called according to his purpose. So when you look at a season is just that, you know, it's a conglomeration of things. Ups and downs, and it's how you respond and how you build on those things that make the difference on whether you're going to have a successful season or not. So I give Syracuse credit. You know, whatever challenges they had to deal with, they dealt with it and they fought through it. So that's probably what made them hungrier and tougher. And who knows? I mean, coach sitting out those 9 games. It may have affected his perspective, you know, on things. You know, it may have, maybe, I don't know. Coach is always a super competitive guy, but he might be even more hungry to be back. You know, I don't know. You know, I haven't talked to him, but, hey, when you sit out 9 games and coach don't even like missing practice, so in all the games and coach practices he coached, if he missed more than, I know when he was dealing with health issues, he missed a couple of games and made some practice. But other than that, if you post this more than 5 practices, I'd be shocked. He don't miss no practice. He don't miss no games. So sometimes maybe it fires you up and renews your appreciation for what you have. So who knows? But I believe for those that love the Lord, God works all things together for the good.
And when you move forward and you look at what's to come, Louie? You look at Virginia, Syracuse played them tough at the JPJ. Malcolm Brogdon brought up the fact that a lot of teams don't play them as close as Syracuse did on their home court, but Syracuse was able to do that. Syracuse lost by 8. I believe Virginia had to make 8 threes in order to win that game. Just what you can say about this Syracuse team the second time around, what type of changes kind of stick out to you from Syracuse in January when they played Virginia to Syracuse today?
Well, I think their defense has been outstanding. I mean, the zone, it's just hard to get good looks and get shots, man. And if they can rebound out of the zone, which they've been doing a good job, and, you know, Tyler, Lighton, and Coleman, they've been, to me, doing a really good job of playing big and playing rugged. And, you know, being a presence, body shot, rebounding, putting that body on people, along with Robeson. You know, it's not just Robeson. You know, Lighton and Coleman, they playing big. They playing rugged. And then the guards along and the wing players, I just think their defense and rebounding has end of the day, he's the rock. He's what I call the rock. He's the rock of the team. And, he's been playing well. So I just think defensively and rebounding, they're playing at a really high level, and they've been able to make big plays to win close games. And, you got to be able to win close games at this time of year because you're playing against all good teams.
And to that effect, some people have said, speaking here with Louis Orr, Syracuse Orange Men's basketball alum, some people have made the comment that Syracuse had the easy road to get there, that they had to play Dayton, which was a 7 seed. They played a 15 seed Middle Tennessee State. They played an 11 seed Gonzaga, who's not from one of the Power 5 conferences. So to that effect, that they haven't played any of the Power 5 in their first three games, some people have made comments that, this is an easy schedule. Syracuse should have gotten to this point. What can you say to that? I don't agree with it, and I haven't agreed with it since the beginning. I think you play the hand you're dealt, and your job is to win. But how do you look at the scenario of people thinking that Syracuse had some type of an easy road to get to where they are?
People will always be talking. You can't pay attention to that. Critics, that's why they call them critics. They can always find something to pick at. First of all, I think it was Middle Tennessee. They wouldn't be playing Syracuse if they didn't beat a team that many people picked to win the national championship, Michigan State. So give them credit. They beat Michigan State. So on that day they were better than Michigan State. So and Michigan State was second two seed and. A lot of people picked them to win a national championship. So, you still got to win the game. And then you look at the other teams that they played, Dayton, two or three years ago, Dayton knocked Syracuse out of the tournament.
Right.
So, you can't underestimate them regardless of what conference they're from. And then you look at Gonzaga, there's been no more consistent team over the last 18, 19 years than Gonzaga. And they've been the number one seed before. And they had to knock out teams ahead of them to get to play Syracuse. So you can't go by that. That's just tough. Because those teams had to win games and be good teams to get there. So give those teams credit for winning.
Yeah, I agree with you completely and wholeheartedly. You got to play the hand that you're dealt. And like you said, Middle Tennessee defeated number two seeded Michigan State. And then when you look at Gonzaga, they defeated Seton Hall that won the Big East, defeated Villanova, who's now in the Final Four and just defeated number one Kansas. And Gonzaga went on from there to defeat Utah, who was the second team out of the Pac-12, and made the championship game and lost to Oregon. So, obviously the teams that Syracuse was going up against were teams that were beating the teams that were supposed to win and go to the Elite Eight themselves. So, I think that definitely makes the case for the Orange. And like you said, critics are going to continue to pick at things because that's what they feel like they need to do. As we move forward and finish things up here with Louis Orr, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, I want to give you kind of a free-for-all, Louis. When you look at the seven guys that are out there, you look at the three freshmen, you look at Daywan, who hasn't played in 2 years, you look at the vets and Roberson, Benajay, and Cooney, putting it all together, and the staff, Autry, McNamara, Hopkins, Boeheim. What is your overall thought of Syracuse, your overall feelings as you watch this tournament, as you see the team advance to the Elite Eight and have an opportunity to go to the Final Four for the second time in 4 years? What do you want to say about this team? What are the things that have stuck out to you at this point overall?
Hey, I tip my hat to them, because they have They have stayed the course. They had to overcome some adversity. Anytime, they lose their head coach, and no one knew if or when that would happen. If coach was going to be suspended some games, when. So the timing of it was kind of unknown, and they had to fight through that. opportunity, and they earned that. So, hey, I'm excited about their team, and, I respect them. I have big respect for the guys and the coaching staff that's playing and working at Syracuse University.
You've known Boeheim since day one of him coming into Syracuse, and you've won with Boeheim. When you look at all of the Final Four teams that Boeheim has had, all of the Elite Eight teams that Boeheim has had, what can you say about this year's team that's knocking on the door of the Final Four? Is this the team that you thought maybe was given the least amount of opportunity, or at least the least odds to get there, or least chance to get there by people? I mean, where does this team stack up in the Elite Eight compared to other teams that achieved that same success?
They're not done. They got a big game today. But I would say that, they are opportunistic teams that have taken advantage of the opportunities that they've had. And I think they got the ability to make plays when they're needed. And they got, everybody's clicking at the right time. They got great senior leadership. Vinicius and Cooney, those guys are, man, they grind, whether it's pretty or not, they keep playing. And that's one of the things that I believe. You just keep playing. You just keep playing, and you keep believing in yourself and your teammates and your coaching staff and what you're trying to do, and you just keep playing. Keep grinding. And, you play with courage. This has been a courageous team. They've been a courageous team. And they've been a persevering team, and they've been a team of character. So that goes a long way. I mean, their talent speaks for itself. They have some talented players. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than this talent. Because Syracuse has had other talented teams. But this team has character. And, they got courage, and they got perseverance. So, when you got that, you can accomplish great things. So, and they're doing it together. They're doing it together. So, hey. It's a pleasure to see you, and again, I wish them nothing but the best, and I hope, they keep working and they work themselves to the Final Four.
That coming from Louis Orr, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. Louis, I can't thank you enough for taking some time with me on this Easter, and God's front and center. You know what it's all about, so happy Easter. God bless, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
All right. To God be the glory, Dan, and appreciate you having me on. Always a pleasure.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. That's Louis Orr, once again, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. So, with Syracuse in the Elite Eight trying to knock down the door to the Final Four, four Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum joined the show today live. And I want to thank Leo Routens for being a part of the show. I also want to put a special thanks out to Brandon Trish, Gene Waldron, as well as Louis Orr for being a part of today's show. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortorez, broadcasting live down here in Chicago, Illinois. I should say over here. I keep saying down here because I'm typically traveling down the country, not over, but have never been to Illinois, never been to Chicago, and I'm very happy that I've had the opportunity to be here. A lot of firsts for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortorez already in 2016, and we're not even through the first 3 months. A first in being live from Washington, D.C., a first from being live in St. Louis, Missouri, and now the trifecta, a first from being live in Chicago, Illinois, and we'll see where we go from here. Very, very interesting. I want to take a look at the bracket as a whole right now. I mean, obviously, at the time that we're speaking, half of the Final Four has already been decided upon, with Villanova and Oklahoma moving forward, the two seed of the South in Villanova defeating one seed at Kansas. Kansas, when they get put as a one seed, I feel like they're vulnerable. And then Oregon and Oklahoma, the one and the two playing in the West respectively, and Oklahoma, the two seed moving on from there. And in today's games, as we sit here in this moment, North Carolina taking on Notre Dame, the one seed going up against the six seeded Notre Dame, and then number one seeded Virginia going up against number 10 seeded Syracuse. And this is an all, I mean, today is essentially an ACC day. It's another ACC exciting moment for this conference. I mean, you look at the Elite Eight, you got Kansas, who's coming to you from the Big 12. You got Villanova from the Big East, Oklahoma from the Big 12, Oregon from the Pac-12. And then in the East bracket and the Midwest bracket, that is all ACC. North Carolina, Notre Dame, Virginia, Syracuse. So credit to the ACC. John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC, has been on the show plenty of times. He was just on the show with me recently. We were talking about the ACC, talking about the success, talking about how effective this conference is. And credit to the conference for what? Pardon me. Still getting over being sick here. But credit to what this conference has done. And just, I mean, really what it's shown. I mean, I picked Syracuse to finish first in the ACC in the preseason. And I didn't shy away from that. I've never hidden from that. You know, there was an article that came out that said, Mystery Man, I wasn't hiding. The day that I made the picks, they were out there. And then I put them on my website. And then I promoted them on my social media. I was no mystery to anybody. I wasn't hiding under a cloth or anything like that. You know, and I took a lot of criticism and I took a lot of praise. I took a little bit of both. There was more praise than criticism. But when I look at why I chose the team to be where they, to be at the top of the ACC, I had North Carolina at two. Let's not get it twisted, folks. I had Virginia up there. I had Duke up there. I had North Carolina up there. I had Syracuse first. Now, the reason why I had Syracuse first is because I felt like they could play anybody strong. I felt like their freshman class was going to pay dividends for them. I thought Daywon Coleman's return was going to be good. I thought Tyler Roberson would step his game up. I thought Trevor Cooney was going to do his thing. I thought Michael Benajay was going to potentially, if he could be a leader, that this team could go far. Everything I picked Syracuse to be top in the ACC for, they're doing right now in the NCAA tournament. Every single reason, all of my reasoning for this team is showing itself right now. Why I chose Syracuse is, like I said, Mike Benajay stepping his game up, going inside, penetrating, showing that he can shoot. Trevor Cooney making threes, being an all-around presence, being effective, showing that he can do more offensively, like go inside like he did against Gonzaga, coming right out of the gate in the second half and giving the team their first lead of the game, 30-29, to saying that Malachi, to me, I thought was going to play better than a freshman. He was going to play like he had already been there, that Frank Howard has the vision and the ability, that Tyler Lydon can shoot from anywhere, that Tyler Lydon is going to be an effective player right out of the gate. I got to thank Adrian Autry for that, because Adrian and I did a live show in the Central New York community, and this is why you got to come out to my live shows. Because over a year ago, it was a year and a half at least, Adrian and I were sitting in a bar doing a live show talking about Tyler Lydon. And he told me what to expect from Tyler Lydon. And he was right. So I went into this season saying, Tyler can shoot from anywhere. Tyler is going to be effective. He's going to be effective inside. He's going to be effective outside. He's going to add another element to this team. He's not, you know, he's going to go out and he's going to make his presence felt immediately. And he has. Defensively is where I think I could take a step back and say, well, damn, I mean, this player is pretty darn good all around, because we talked about offense, but you look at defense, and he's been doing work. So preseason-wise, that's why you saw me pick Syracuse to be the top of the ACC. They finished ninth. But of them finishing ninth in the ACC, look at where Syracuse stands right now in this moment. You finish ninth in the ACC, but if we look at the ACC at this point, who's left in the NCAA tournament? North Carolina finished first, they're in it. Virginia finished second, they're in it. Miami finished third, they're out. Louisville postseason ban, so they're not playing. Duke finished fifth, they're out. Notre Dame finished sixth, they're still in it. Virginia Tech didn't even make the tournament. Clemson didn't even make the tournament. Pittsburgh out in their first game. And then there's Syracuse. So Syracuse has numerous teams, five teams ahead of them that aren't in the tournament. four of those teams either didn't make it or they lost. Louisville took themselves out. So when you look at that, and you look at Notre Dame being 11-7 in the regular season in the ACC, Syracuse 9-9, both of these teams, Notre Dame a 6 seed, Syracuse a 10 seed, were not projected to be where they are right now by many, but they are. And North Carolina and Virginia at the top, I said these are two teams that should be number one seeds because I believe that in order to be a number one seed, there has to be a big enough case that you could win the whole darn thing. They haven't proven me wrong either. North Carolina and Virginia, I have believed in both of these teams to get to where they are right now because when you look at number one seeds and you look at the potential of winning a national championship, I think both of them have had that. And they've shown you that to get to where they are today. So I can honestly stand here today and say I'm happy I picked Syracuse to win the ACC. I'm happy that people saw it. I'm happy that I was the only person in the media out of, I don't know, 900 people, 700 people, something like that. Because what I saw in them is what you are seeing now. They're showing you at the most important time what I had written down on paper. And then some. So credit to the team for what they've been able to do. Credit to how they got here. Virginia's supposed to be here. But do not get it twisted that they had to fight to get here. And I give them credit for that. You know, they talk about Syracuse having an easy road. Virginia, it was no contest against Iowa State, a 4 seed, in their Sweet 16 matchup. It was no big deal. They had a better contest against Butler, the 9 seed. So when people are saying, well, you know, Syracuse had such an easy road to get to where they are today. Well, how about North Carolina handle Providence with little to no worry whatsoever? They handled Indiana. Every team that got to where they are got here because they took the hand they were dealt, they played the games that they had to play, and they won. So you can't, if you're going to take away from Syracuse getting to the Elite Eight, you got to take away from Virginia, you got to take away from North Carolina because of some of the games they had. You got to take away from those. You got to take away from Villanova because they played Iowa and won by almost 30 points. So if you're going to go that route, then I guess nobody deserves to be here. But that's why the argument is flawed. Syracuse played the hand they were dealt. Well, Middle Tennessee is an easy team to play, Dan. They're coming out of the Conference USA. Nobody knows who the hell they are or where they're from. Okay. Well, guess what? If that's the case, why did Michigan State not lead the entire game? How did Middle Tennessee State from Conference USA go up against the mighty Big Ten and take down a Michigan State team that was never allowed to lead for 40 minutes? A physical team that could shoot threes and play well inside in Syracuse outplayed Middle Tennessee State. How does Michigan State lose by 9 to a team that Syracuse defeats by 25? That's saying something. So now Syracuse is here with Virginia. We're taking a look at this matchup, the second time around for Syracuse. And in order to take a look at this matchup, we got to look back. We have to go back in time to that matchup that Syracuse had with Virginia earlier on this season. And to take a look at that matchup, to go in here and Syracuse, one of the games that got away, so to speak, like I was saying earlier on here in Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. Syracuse lost the game by 8 points on the road in the JPJ. Now, again, Malcolm Brogdon made the statement, people don't play as close at home. Syracuse played as close. In that game, Malachi Richardson had 23. Mike Benajay had 24. That was the big push from this team. Was from these two gentlemen. They had 47 of Syracuse's 65 points. The rest of the team scored 18. Trevor Cooney didn't have a good shooting night, went 3 of 13. Daywon Coleman had 2. He was still getting comfortable in the season. Tyler Roberson, 7 rebounds, 6 points. So not too bad, relatively close to a double-double. But this is a game where Tyler Lydon played 26 minutes and only took one shot. This is when Tyler Lydon was not shooting. This is when Tyler Lydon thought he had to pass the ball off. This is where he thought, I'm the freshman, I got to give it to the veterans out of respect. No, Tyler Lydon today, the Tyler Lydon that's blocking shots, that's making free throws, that's taking the first shot that's given to him when he comes in 4 minutes into the game, that Tyler Lydon didn't exist when Syracuse played Virginia earlier on in the season. 2 points in 26 minutes, that's not your Tyler Lydon. 0 blocks in 26 minutes, that's not your Tyler Lydon. Tyler Lydon right now in 2 NCAA tournament games back-to-back, Middle Tennessee State and against Gonzaga, he has had 12 blocks in the last two games. 6 against Gonzaga, 6 against Middle Tennessee State. 6 against a team in Gonzaga that has good inside presence, that can attack you and get after you, that has Sabonis, that has Wiltshire. 6 blocks against a very, very effective team inside. 6 blocks against Middle Tennessee State that attacks the heck out of you inside and was very physical. So, much credit to Tyler Lydon for those 6 blocks. Much credit to who he did it against. And Virginia's going to get a different team in this game because Tyler Lydon is different. Frank Howard is different. He played 5 minutes against Virginia. He's been playing a lot more than that. Boeheim put him in before Tyler Lydon in the last game. Boeheim put him in before 2 minutes into the second half in this last game against Gonzaga. Frank Howard has good vision. And outside of a couple mistakes here and there, he's making good decisions. So, Frank's a different player. Tyler Lydon's a different player. Trevor Cooney's a different player. Because out of those 13 shots he took against Virginia, 8 of them were from three-point range. Well, he's been attacking the basket now. Mike Benajay, okay, he's the guy what you see is what you get, but they couldn't stop him. He had 4 steals in the game. He had 24 points. He made 7 of his 13 shots, 5 of 9 three-pointers. They couldn't stop Mike then, and now he's coming into this game even more tenacious, even more physical, wanting it even more at this point. Daywon Coleman, 22 minutes, only took 2 shots, had 2 points coming at the charity stripe, but he did have 6 rebounds. Daywon is going toward the 8-8 type of guy now, potentially a 10-10, 10 points, 10 rebounds. So Daywon's a different player, Trevor's a different player, Tyler Roberson's a different player, Tyler Lydon's a different player, Frank Howard's a different player, Malachi Richardson and Mike Benajay, they know that there's more to it now. They obviously know the feeling of defeat, not having control of your own destiny and not knowing if you're going to make the tournament. So they felt that. But this team that's going up against Virginia is a different Syracuse team. And mind you, Virginia only won that game by 8 with Frank Howard, Tyler Lydon, Tyler Roberson, Daywon Coleman, and Trevor Cooney not playing at their best. So that says something about Syracuse in this upcoming matchup. But don't take the respect away from Virginia. They have a stifling defense. Their offenses come on. The last couple years, they've had Malcolm Brogdon. They've had Anthony Gill. They've had London Perrantes. And in having all those guys, with Gill being a senior and Brogdon being a senior and Perrantes now being a junior, defensively they've been sound. 2 years ago, last year, this year. But the difference this year is offensively, they're there. Offensively, they can affect the game in a very positive way. Offensively, they're showing that they have depth of scoring, that it's not just Perrantes as well as Brogdon and Gill, but Nolte's going to make a push. Hall's going to make a push. Toby's going to make a push. It's going to come from a lot of different areas. I think that this matchup is one of the best matchups next to North Carolina and Notre Dame that you're going to see in the Elite Eight. You know, Oklahoma handled Oregon. Villanova took it to Kansas. I think you're going to see a very even matchup between Syracuse and Virginia because they have defenses that are strong going into this game. They both have the capability of moving quickly or moving slowly. They both can milk the clock. They both have rebounders. They both have outside shooting. I think if Syracuse's outside shooting is on, then it's a step above Virginia. But I think Virginia's inside game is where you got to say, okay, Tyler Lydon, Tyler Roberson, Daywon Coleman, what are you going to do? Because Anthony Gill and Malcolm Brogdon are going to be beasts inside. So what are you going to do? But then when you look at jump shot,
You say, okay, Mike Benajay's got Malcolm Brogdon there. So that's how this game looks. It's an even matchup where there's advantages for Virginia on some sides defensively, some when you look inside, but then Syracuse outside play, Syracuse in what they can do in their shooting outside, as well as the fact that their defense has woken up. Both teams have depth right now, and that's something that might sound crazy to say about Syracuse, because they only play seven. They only have two come off the bench, and they're true freshmen. And then you got the veteran leadership in Virginia. But you got Malcolm Brogdon that doesn't want to see this thing go away, and Anthony Gale that doesn't want to see this thing go away, and Mike Toby that doesn't want to see this thing go away. But then you got Mike Benajay that doesn't want to see it go away, and Trevor Cooney that doesn't want to see it go away. Mike Benajay had to sit and watch. When he came to Syracuse in the 2012-13 season as a transfer, you got to sit out a year. So he had to sit and watch Syracuse in the Final Four. Trevor Cooney, for the most part in that game, had to sit and watch Syracuse in the Final Four. He only played 5 minutes. Daywon Coleman had to sit and watch Syracuse play in the Final Four, even though he was a part of the team. So each of those guys know what it feels like to sit and watch and wait. And Virginia doesn't know what it feels like to sit and watch, because they haven't gotten there, this team. I think the last time Virginia got to the Final Four was 1984. So you got two teams that want it. It's just who wants it more at this point. And in all honesty, I'm going to go with Syracuse in this one. The way that I have seen Mike Benajay play, the way that I have seen Trevor Cooney play, what Tyler Lydon is willing to do, how Tyler Roberson has come, and you could say, okay, Boeheim said something, he responded, it was because of that, or it's because of this, or it's because of the other thing. Listen, Tyler Roberson has it in him. All Tyler has to do is believe in himself. And if you look in the first couple minutes of the game against Virginia, and Tyler Roberson in the first couple possessions is getting the offensive rebound or the defensive rebound, look out. If Mike Benajay is attacking the basket, look out. If Trevor Cooney's attacking the basket, look out. If some of those shots are falling, look out. It says something about the depth of a team that only has seven players that Malachi Richardson has not had to have big games against Gonzaga or Middle Tennessee State for the team to win. And that when he's made his shots, they've come at perfect times. And that Tyler Lydon hasn't done much offensively, but 12 blocks in two games. And he's the one that makes the free throws that make it a three-point game with a little over a second to go against Gonzaga. So I'm going to go with Syracuse in this one. I think they're going to push a little bit harder. I think they're going to want it a little bit more. But I take no credit away from Virginia. I thank you for listening to today's show. And I implore you to follow me on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT. And Twitter at CallDT, CallDT. To do both of that. And then to make sure that you're on WakeUpCallDT.com. There's plenty of articles, videos to watch. You can see the videos directly on YouTube.com/WakeUpCallDT. Don't miss a moment of the coverage. Thank you for bearing with me as I am still a little bit sick here, and that's why you haven't heard my voice on the air a lot. I'm trying to conserve it as much as I can, but I will be here in Chicago for this game, tipping off at 6.09 p.m. Eastern Time, so it's 5.09 p.m. Central Time here in Chicago. So I'll be here for the game, watching Syracuse take on Virginia for the second time this season, and to see what happens from here. Like I said, I'm picking Syracuse to win this game in a close one. We'll see what happens. Thank you so much for tuning in. Special thanks again to Leo Routens, Brandon Trish, Gene Waldron, and Louis Orr for joining me today. God bless. Happy Easter. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.